the center of missions in the local church, today on Timothy Talks.
The 21st century, 7.7 billion people, 41% unreached. 5 billion people in the 1040 window, 47 megacities each with over 10 million people, and 1.6 billion Muslims, nearly a billion Hindus, and hundreds of millions of others without the gospel. This is Timothy Talks, Season 2, An Unfinished Task.
Greetings, welcome to Timothy Talks. My name is Matthew Rischer. I'm alongside Daniel Pensimone, and we're excited to bring a new episode for you today on our topic of the Great Commission and really honing in and looking on the centrality of the local church in the Great Commission. So with that, Daniel, I'm going to throw it over to you, and why don't you read the Great Commission for us once again so we can hear what it has to say and jump into this topic.
Yeah, I'll read from Matthew chapter 28. And I'll give a little context about verses 16 through 20 now. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." That passage always gets to me when I read it, because Matthew has structured his gospel in such a way that that is literally the last thing that you hear. So you've got this wonderful story of Jesus, and you followed him all the way to the cross and his resurrection, and then he's putting that there to say, you do something with this. Mm. You don't leave it on the table. You don't go away and say that was a great story. You do something with this.
Absolutely.
So I think one of the big takeaways here, though, is that notice who this direction goes to. It goes to the 11. The 11 disciples. Obviously, Judas Iscariot isn't around anymore, but these 11 disciples are entrusted with the gospel to take it. And you see in the book of Acts, that's exactly what they do. They take it to the ends of the earth. But those who are those 11 disciples? Who do they represent? I think sometimes we've gotten it wrong. So back in the time of the Reformation, I've heard that some of the early reformers actually believed that these 11 disciples were to themselves. The apostles were to do this. But after the apostles were gone, the commission was finished because it was entrusted to the apostles. And that is not the right approach. This wasn't just entrusted to the apostles. This was entrusted to the church. Remember, they symbolized the church. In the book of Matthew, you have the keys of the kingdom. You have Peter making a confession. Peter and the other apostles are the symbol of the church here. And so Great Commission, same thing exactly. So the practical reality of what this means is that the local church is responsible for taking the Great Commission, doing the Great Commission. Obviously, as individuals, we have a part to play. But too often, if the reformers said that it was the apostles, the problem today is that we say it's the individual Christian separate from the church. And this makes a Lone Ranger mentality. You know, I've been guilty of this myself. I remember times I went out to evangelize and share the gospel with people. What was wrong was that I didn't even root any of my evangelism in the concept of the local church. I didn't consult with my local church a lot. I didn't do things with my local church a lot. I just was going out Lone Ranger evangelism. And that's good to evangelize as individuals, but how can you pull the local church in? So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that off the top of your head.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's important when we see this a lot. People go out, they'll share the gospel, and a person may show some true signs of faith, some true signs of repentance. And you go, wow, wonderful. You know, do you have a Bible? And if they say no, you kind of give them the Bible that's on spot, and you're, all right, good luck. Well, that's not the best that you can do. And as evangelists, as missionaries, as people who are on mission, we want to do the best we can do. So after you see some true signs of repentance and faith, say, hey, this is the local church right here. We meet on Sunday at such and such a time. And if you've truly repented and believed that Jesus Christ is now Lord and Savior of your life, meet us there. And that's where you'll begin to grow and learn more about him. And yeah, give him the Bible. pray for them, do those things. But if you've seen signs of true faith, send them to the local church. That's where they need to be. A lot of times you'll meet people like we talked about a few episodes ago where, you know, they're a Christian and they're not in a church. Point them to a local church. Or at least I say they're a Christian and they're not in a church. Everything needs to come from and through the local church. It is the local church that is the ones who show if people are truly in the faith or if they're not through the avenues of baptism and church discipline. So the local church is essential in missions and in the Great Commission.
Exactly. And what you said there, I think we're missing the point that the Great Commission is about making disciples. It's not just making converts. And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But if you're making converts, yeah, that's a great way. Here's a Bible. Now go do it yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you're making disciples, well, disciples, not that there is a difference. A true convert will be a disciple.
Yes.
But if your goal is to make disciples, that's going to be a process. You've got to feed them. You've got to nurture them. It's like that seed that's been planted. Now it's got to be watered and be in the good environment, good soil. So absolutely, we're about making disciples. And that's why when I've gone and shared the gospel with people now, I want to have a local church that I can refer them to. Sometimes I've even gone to places where I'm not very familiar with a local church. So I'll look up some good resources. I think of illbehonest.com mm-hmm. has a list of great churches. That's illbehonest.com. Great list of local churches. There's other resources like that. That's just the first one that pops into mind.
Yeah.
But look up, even if you don't live in the place where that person is, what's some churches that you can get them involved with? Maybe even that means reaching out to the church itself and saying, hey, there's this person. I've ministered to them. It's a great opportunity. Can you step in and help this out as well? Mm. So I think that's one way. Now, both of us are in the Southern Baptist Convention, a group of churches. Some of you are familiar with it. Some of you may not be as familiar with it, but it's a loose network of churches that hold to some Baptist-type beliefs. And so, not in any official way, but just through friendly association, we're linked up in this convention. But Matthew, you have an idea about a way that our denomination can promote the priority of missions in the local church. And it actually has implications for people who aren't even in the Southern Baptist Convention. So would you delve into just your idea on that and then implications outside of the SBC?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, both of us are members of SBC churches. We go to an SBC seminary. And right now, the IMB, the International Mission Board, which we've talked about before, is the largest missions agency in America. And they're sending out more missionaries than any other agency. So thinking through this and seeing the goal of the SBC was founded upon missions, the desire to reach the nations with the gospel. And we can see in the life of the SBC, there is in a sense a disconnect between the missionary who's on the field and the local churches who are back stateside. Outside of the money that's being given to the cooperative program, there's no real interaction. So how do we change this? What can we do as a convention to really increase the awareness of the missionaries that are on there and in a very real and tangible way, increase their effectiveness? So my idea is very simple. And then this can stretch beyond the SBC. So maybe take some of these principles and apply it to your church, whether you're just an independent Baptist church or a Presbyterian church or whatever kind of church you go to or denomination you're affiliated with, these principles can apply. But I would love to see if the SBC did this, if they would take all of their missionaries and they would place them in churches. They'd have churches, in a sense, we'll say, for sake of words, sponsor them. Not financially, but in prayer. In prayer. So each church is given 1 to 2 missionaries. Each SBC church has 1 to 2 missionaries. And their job is to post their pictures, the pictures of their family, somewhere on their website or in their church, and to regularly be praying for these missionaries. And if you divide the number of missionaries by the number of churches, you can have several churches praying for each missionary. And imagine several churches praying for a couple thousand missionaries. I think God would honor that. I think that would make us more aware of the mission work that's going on. I think that would make us more willing to give to the cooperative program to continue to fund the missionaries who are out there. And it'd really bring joy to our hearts and to our lives to see the work that these missionaries are doing. We can get reports. Many missionaries write quarterly, semi-annual reports of you know, what's been going on in the region that they're at. And the churches can read the reports, send them out to their members so they can read what's going on with the missionary who we've been praying for these past several months. And it can be a great encouragement to those of us who are on this side, who are stateside, who are faithful members of the local church, and a great way to support missionaries who are abroad.
Well, that's a great idea. And it reminds me that the church that I'm going to right now has actually done something very similar to that, which is we were sending money to the convention through the cooperative program to give money to foreign missions, but we didn't actually have someone that we were personally connected with. And the leadership of the church felt that that was something that needed to change. So they went out and purposefully started to connect with people at the International Mission Board. They were able to find a missionary that was doctrinally similar and start supporting that missionary through prayer, through actually taking trips where the people in the congregation, I was one of them. We've taken several trips. I did one of the trips over there to see what's going on, to know how to pray better. And it's a great way to really get connected with missions. And who knows what could happen if something like that were to
absolutely. I mean, the impact of the local church here stateside could be tremendous in the international picture. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Timothy Talks.
If you're enjoying the Timothy Talks podcast show today, consider doing us a favor and give us a positive rating on iTunes. This way, other people can hear the show too. And if you have a friend or family member who would enjoy this content, please pass it on. You can send them to www.timothytalkspodcast.com, or they can subscribe through their favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Timothy Talks, and looking at the second half of our talk today, let's jump into some useful resources people can take, maybe books they can bring and read to just continue to develop this topic of missions in their own minds, in their own hearts. And what have you found to be helpful resources, Daniel?
Yeah, well, before I mention that, I would just say we've been talking about missions and evangelism a lot on this show. But at some point, we have to move on to other topics. So we're giving these recommendations to you as things that you can really delve deeper, because hopefully this has just ignited a fire in your heart to learn more and to do that. But two books, I'm not going to overwhelm you with a ton of titles. Two books, though, that are great. And I'll start by mentioning the first one. It's Let the Nations Be Glad by John Piper. The subtitle is The Supremacy of God in Missions. Probably a classic. It's not that old, but it's a classic. Mm. Pretty much everyone has heard about this book in the Reformed community, or at least a whole lot of people have. John Piper's a great author, obviously. He's a guy who understands the sovereignty of God, at least as humans can. And he has done us all a service by talking about the sovereignty of God in missions. He's got a lot of interesting things in there. He talks about people groups. That's a big concept nowadays. It would be interesting to have a discussion even on that, which we may or may not sometime in the future, but it's a great book. Go out and get that. If you've not read it, you're going to thank me that you read it if you do so.
And I'm pretty sure with every one of Piper's books, you can get the PDF for free on his website, Desiring
really?
God. Yeah, Desiring God. I think it's .org. Just Google search Desiring God. It'll be the first one. But you can get, I'm pretty sure you can get every one of his books that he's written, PDF online for free.
Well, that's a wonderful resource, but even if you couldn't or you're delayed from that for some reason, it's even worth the money, whatever it is. But that's great. One other book I'm going to mention, this is a personal favorite of mine. It's called A Vision for Missions by Tom Wells. And the thing that you're going to love me for is that this book is probably a third of the size of Let the Nations Be Glad. Let the Nations Be Glad is not a big book, but A Vision for Missions is a tiny book. So this book is not going to overwhelm you at all. And the thing is, this is an excellent book. I'd probably say this is the best book on the theory of missions that I've ever read in my life outside of the Bible, because it is succinct, it's clear. And what Tom Wells does is he bases missions in the character of God. So he walks through different attributes of God, and he talks about missions as a result of these things. So by the time you finish reading the book, you realize missions has to happen because of who God is.
Hmm.
And the sovereignty of God means that you need to be interested in missions. the omniscience of God means that you need to be interested in missions. The faithfulness of God, the graciousness of God, the righteousness of God, all of these characteristics impel missions. So whether you are sitting at home in the United States or whether you're a missionary on the field, if you read this, you will be encouraged that the God we serve is a reason for missions. So check it out, A Vision for Missions. Quick read and absolutely worth it. So with that, we're going to take just a couple moments to talk about some takeaways. This may be the last episode or concluding episode for our discussion of evangelism and missions, and I'm sure that we're going to talk about this subject more, but in terms of an actual series walking through, we're probably going to be hitting a few other topics, unless some radical change happens in the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. We'll probably be bringing this to a close, and would love to move on to a topic that will continue to give you some great content. That's our aim for you as our listeners. But what are a few takeaways from both of us? Matthew, we've spent all this time talking about evangelism and missions. What is one or two things that just really have hit you as a result of this?
Yeah, before I get to my takeaways, I just would want to encourage our listeners that we are going to change directions. We're going to shift into a new series. But if you have any ideas, if there's things that you want us to cover, things that you think will be very helpful in your spiritual life, send us an email. Send us an email with the topics that you like to be covered, that you like to cover. Not promising we can do those topics, but we'd love to see what you guys have and what you guys think. Our email address is TimothyTalksPodcast. That's TimothyTalksPodcast@gmail.com. The name of our podcast and @gmail.com. But takeaways from the season, you know, it's been a great season. We have hopefully beat the drum well towards seeing the nations reached. And I think the biggest thing that I can take away and look back on is really just an appreciation of the men who have gone before us. Beginning right there in the New Testament, like we talked about, the Great Commission, the apostles who were sent out to reach the nations, specifically the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys, moving forward and just seeing the men and the women throughout history who have really shaped the world through their efforts. Men who will never be acknowledged in this world, men who books won't be written about, but they felt the need. They felt the need for people to hear the gospel and to be converted. And there's just, as a Christian, as a fellow saint, as one who will be in glory with these people, I'm eternally grateful and overwhelmed with gratefulness for the work that they did. And it encouraged me to press on in whatever the Lord has for me. So this season leaves me with gratefulness. If I was going to sum it up in one word, it would be gratefulness. But what about you, Daniel? What are some of your takeaways from this season?
As we've spent this time just surveying all of evangelism and missions, I think that what struck me was the fact that we can do missions here. Mm. You don't have to go to the other side of the world. And we've tried to be intentional about that, talking about evangelism even here, because it's so easy to talk about missions as something that's done over on the other side of the world. But there are lost people around us. And even the United States, I don't have the statistic right in front of me, so I can't say the exact numbers, but if America consisted only of the people, if you took all the Christians out of America, America would be like the fourth largest unreached nation in the world. There's that many people who are not believers or even profess Christianity in it. It's a huge number of people. So the mission field's all around us. And I hope that every single one of us, whether we're recording this podcast or whether we're listening to this podcast, that we can just be re-inspired about the need for obeying Jesus Christ in the Great Commission.
Yeah, and that's where we should leave it. We encourage you, go out, make disciples. Make disciples of your nation, of your neighbors, make disciples of your nation. And hopefully God's been glorified through this series. We thank you for listening and joining us, and we look forward to seeing what we have next. So stay tuned for that, and that's all we have from Timothy Talks.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Timothy Talks. Timothy Talks podcast is produced by Daniel Pentamone and Matthew Risher. To visit Daniel's personal website, visit www.fromdanielsdesk.com. Again, that's fromdanielsdesk.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, do us a favor.
pass it on to a friend. You can refer them to timothytalkspodcast.com or tell them to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Thanks so much.